Good morning. Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We have Rosie and I are in studio this morning, and Romy's with us, but he's not in studio. How you doing, Roms?
It is a very brisk Casa Grande morning today.
Oh, are you broadcasting outside?
I'm actually sitting in the truck right now. There, at the rodeo ground. We're at the Casa Grande Rodeo Grounds for the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo Association's third rodeo of the year. There's seven a year. And it takes a lot of generators, apparently, overnight, because it is very clackety-clack, clack-clack loud outside. I said it earlier, but I'm going to become a licensed Briggs & Stratton quiet generator sales rep and just bring 20 a rodeo until we can quiet the exhaust level around here. It is a difficult sleeping environment.
Well, thanks for joining us in spite of probably a pretty sleepless night. And hey, I bet you the Arizona homeowners would like to know today is a day to wish you happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Romy. Sure they just needed to know that.
They did. Number one son, Romy. Happy birthday. Hey, did you get to hear the interview last half hour with Ashley Fitzgerald?
I did.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It is interesting. It left me with a lot more questions than answers, though. I want to know what they're growing. I want to know if they're planning on being citizens. I want to know what happens if you're in another country and you buy property and you're not a citizen. You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of questions.
Maybe that's why it took them 4 years from the decision to the transition.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to kind of check in on them periodically and see. She made it sound very appealing. She was very well spoken. She presented a good case, you know, but I just want to know what the reality is compared to the, you know, to her plans and her vision, her pre-vision of what it was going to be like. You know, the Romeros like to be out and about, too, a little bit out of the city. We don't like HOAs. We don't like, there's too many of us. We like animals and kids and all kinds of stuff. So Dad and I lived in New River when y'all were young, and y'all were doing the Whitman thing. Really enjoy living like that. Do you think you could go out of country, Romy?
Probably not. There is, it was growing up in New River that really led to it and always tried to get back to it once we ended up moving into the city. As soon as I was old enough to drive, it seemed like I was always out of there. Back to New River. And at the time, we chose Whitman for property just because it was early 2000s. You would go look at a price tag on a property, and it'd be $150,000. You'd come back next week, and it was $175,000, or it was bought in cash for $200,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, prices and properties were just escalating at such a rapid pace. You could still get land in Whitman for $7 an acre. And that was one thing that was funny. We looked at it. We still bought higher than that. 2 days later, I mean, everything was just going so fast. But that, you know, there wasn't anything necessarily about the Whitman area other than you could just afford the Whitman area still for raw land.
Well, it sounds like Ashley's recount of what she's spent and what she's invested in stuff, it's very reasonable in Uruguay. And did you hear her talk about they're going to do a shipping container home? So I'd love to see that one, get her to send us some pictures. We've talked a lot about the tiny house movement and, you know, small container living. Be interesting to see that.
I don't know that I could do a shipping container house.
Not with two children.
Spending too much, as much time in the trades, I think I would get a little,
a little claustrophobic.
I wouldn't stop it. Yeah, I don't know if claustrophobic, but just the appreciation for building and quality craftsmanship and making stuff with your own hands, I don't know that I could settle in a container.
Well, if I had to fortune tell, I would say that eventually they'll build something else. That'll be just like a little starter. That'll turn into a guest home maybe. But, yeah, they'll need to have something real and substantial over time, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I don't – a couple of kids like you'd mentioned in a container, it – you know, and depending on how harsh their winters are, and they were talking about their parents coming down in the summertime, their summertime, Chicago's wintertime, I don't know how harsh their winters are. You know, could you imagine Julia living in a container house in Minneapolis?
No.
If it's a lot milder and you're spending most of your time outside anyway, you know, maybe just throwing up a Ramada cover, it might be all you need.
Yeah, sounds like they plan on spending a lot of time urban farming. So, hey, so we're going to go from Uruguay to Casa Grande, right? So that's where you are this morning.
I am, again, for the Junior Rodeo.
You got how many kids it's participating this morning?
Three.
Is this Remy's first one?
Remy's first one.
What are his?
So in the peewee division, there's five events. There's dummy roping. And that's the only one that's not done on horseback, where you just got, you have your rope, and you have a fake plastic steer, and the kids, you have three chances to rope. And there's three ways to score it. You can get a slick horn, a head, and a half head. And when you're done with your three different ropes, your three different loops, you get a score based on what you caught. Well, then if there's a tie, then they have these boards, and you put a board in so it moves the roper back farther. And you only get one throw, and you just keep adding boards until the tie is broken. So that's dummy roping. That's the only one not on a horse. And there's four on horseback, four peewees. The first one this morning is barrel racing, pretty standard. You know, three barrels in the arena.
Now, are you you're leading him?
We will. His pony Nibbles is...
He's a pony.
Let's see.
Pony attitude.
Yeah, they haven't invented shock collars for ponies yet. But I think if we could give him a little electric shock therapy somehow, he might be a little bit more responsive to the reins. But we've got as harsh of a bit as we can put in him, and every trick and tie down to metal him out. But he's just still a very aggressive pony. So he's still a little bit more. He can run through his bit harder than Remy can pull back right now. And that'll change once his feet are long enough to fit all the way into his stirrups. We've got them as short as they can, but they're still not there. So we'll be leading them. There's, let me look here. In the boys' division for Pee-wee, there are, I don't have that right for me. I got 10 day sheets here I'm flipping through. There's probably about 20 peewee boys, and he'll be about one of about seven or eight that's led.
You need to get a picture of all those boys lined up. They are so cute in their little boots and their little hats. So cute.
It is a hoot to watch, I will say that. There is, so then there's a boys division, a girls division, and an elite division, which would be like your Special Olympics, but they call it elite at the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's, after the barrel racing, they'll go to pole bending, and there's four poles lined up in a perfect row 21 feet apart in the arena. And you've got to run your horse past it, turn around and zigzag through it, back, turn around the last one, zigzag again, and then turn around and run all the way home. Unled, you know, the teens, they'll finish that pattern in under 20 seconds. In fact, the winners will be close to 17 high 17, low 18s, and you'll have, you know, hundreds of a second between your first and 10th place. I mean, the difference there is very hard to make up. A split second can determine a huge where you come in place-wise. Then after that, okay, so then the only peewee event that's not carried on is obviously the dummy roping, but then the next event on horseback. Okay, so there's two in the peewees. There's the goat tail pull, which is where you enter the arena. And these are all timed events except the roping. And you run your horse down as fast as you can to a goat that's staked in the arena and has a ribbon tied on its tail. And you have to bring your horse to a complete stop, get off, grab the flag out of the goat's tail, and then run to the finish line. And that's where Nibbles really comes in, because the top of Nibbles' back is shorter than Remy's head. So he can, you put the saddle on there and it may be a little taller, but it's not a big deal for him to get off. So he'll gain a lot of time over some of the other peewees that are run on full-grown horses, because of how much faster he'll be able to get off and hit the ground. It is funny to watch those young peewees that are riding full horses as they scramble their way down the saddle. They get pretty creative on how to dismount. And then the final one is the bucket race, which is the one Remy won't be in, because on the barrels that they run barrels, they put then a bucket of grain on top with a flag in, and you've got two of those up. And you go around the first bucket, and you take your flag out of that bucket. Then you got to go around and then stick the flag in the other bucket and run all the way home.
I bet you can't Nibbles, reach those.
Yeah, exactly. He can't reach the buckets.
Well, it sounds like a lot of Remy's times are going to be counting on you today as you lead him through all those. Good luck to Remy today.
Well, it's going to be an interesting timing. They start the barrel race at 8 o'clock. And they run the girls, the elites first, then the girls, then the boys. So he'll probably run right about the 8:20-ish time frame. If we're on a commercial break, I'll run him, because we'll do the pattern in about 45 seconds. And the commercial break at that time is about 4 minutes long. So if I can, if it times up perfectly, if not, Amanda's running.
Oh, y'all get your exercise today. Hey, Dad and I were thinking about coming down, and I realized I've really never been off the highway to see Casa Grande. So I called the Chamber of Commerce just to see what's down there, thinking the only thing there was the outlet malls, and I was ashamed to find out how much there really is in Casa Grande. And
when there's 52,000 people in this area.
I saw that, and I called and talked to the Chamber, and I spoke with a lady named Lori, and I said, I'm really embarrassed to admit to you I don't know anything about the area. And she said 15 years ago, her husband had been transferred there, and she was the same way.
Transferred for what? Did she say?
I didn't ask her. But okay. His business took him to Casa Grande. There's a lot of industrial business there. There's Shamrock Farms. There's resorts and golfing. So I don't know what industry he's in, but there's plenty to do, it sounds like. So she sent me a whole bunch of things to look at. And they even had the Central Arizona College is there. Just lots of good history. Do you know they have a historic district in Casa Grande? From 1945 to 1955, there's a whole set of like 200 homes that were built in that era that you can go and look at. So I had no idea. There's museums, just all kinds of things to do in the area.
They have an incredible state park. If you take the main exit at the outlet malls that you see coming on 10, and you keep heading west about 4 or 5 miles, it's on the south side. And there's just an incredible lawn with a huge tree canopy that you has got to be from that 40s era. And the trees are just that mature. Well, and the landscape is that big of a canopy.
If you're at all interested in stopping by, they have tons of events between now and April, including historic downtown street fair, Bluegrass Festival, Cowboy Days with a Native American rodeo that lasts for 2 days, Art Explosion, Civil War in the Southwest, acted out right there at Picacho Peak, County Fair. Just a great place to stop in. I'm going to have to spend a little more time down there.
If your only experience of Casa Grande is what you saw from Interstate 10 driving between Phoenix and Tucson, you miss kind of a little charming area that, you know, I think that's probably to locals something they appreciate, is being that smaller kind of overlooked community to keep them that small town era. But there is so much here for anybody out on a staycation, and they've got some of the best local restaurants.